Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
I'm going to be teaching to you this morning. My message is entitled, Touching the Untouched. Touching the Untouched. Jesus came and he taught the message of the gospel of the kingdom. And I believe the scripture I'm going to share with you now is one of the most important scriptures that we should never forget as believers. This is one we just need to know. John 13:34 says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That's impossible. To love the way that he loved is almost impossible. Most certainly in our own strength, that's definitely impossible. But perhaps if we look through his eyes and his heart, we can see things a little differently, you know? Look at what he says. He says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If you have love for one another. Jesus didn't give many commandments, but he gave this one. And his commandment was that we should love one another. I want you to take note. He didn't say, a new request I have for you. He says, a commandment. That means this is not a request, it's a commandment. And listen, this is New Testament. This is a New Testament commandment. So there's no way we get around it. This is what it's all about, guys. This is what it's all about. A new commandment. I said earlier on that forgiveness is not easy, but it's something we have to choose to do. I believe that this kind of love is not something that you will feel all the time. I don't believe that Jesus felt like dying on the cross. I believe he chose to do it. Why did he choose to do it? Because he loves so greatly. No greater love is there than this, for he who lays down his life for his friend. That's true love. But it's not, I don't feel like it. I do it because I choose to do it. This is so hard for us, right? I mean, if we're honest, it's not easy. My prayer has always been, from the very beginning of starting this church, is for God to send revival, to encounter us, to turn Vero Beach inside out, upside down, just like the power of God manifest in this place. God's message to me before I planted the church was that you were going to go, we would go and we would take the fire of God into the city. And our what do you call it? Our logo, our slogan, our vision. Our vision is to teach and demonstrate his love and power. You know, and I've, you know, that's what God gave me, and I've looked at it and I don't believe I've truly understood it. I probably still don't. But that word love is hitting me between the eyes like it's never before. Because I cannot love like he loves. I just can't do it. Let's take a look at what Jesus said. His message was to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He came and he taught, and I taught you last week that when he came and taught this message, he said that the kingdom of God is at hand. That means it's right here. It's right in front of you. And he was the Son of God, so he was God. He was God's nature. He was God's character. He was God in the flesh. And when he came, he brought love and peace and joy and righteousness. And he also brought power. power to set the captive free, power to bring healing and deliverance, but he brought both. And both were equally important because one without the other really is just something strange. Have you ever heard of strange fire? Okay. Look at what he said in Luke 4:16. Watch this. I'm going to say that probably with every scripture today. And today I'm going to give you more scripture than I am going to talk to you, because I have to show you how important this is in the Bible this morning. How important this is. You know, they say normally if something is shown to you three times in the Bible, you better pay real attention to it. Well, I'm going to show you from the beginning all the way to the end how this is overemphasized. And I cannot give you all the scriptures for this morning because there are too many. There are just too many, simply too many. But let's take a look at Jesus, what he said in Luke 4:16. Why did he come? And this is so beautiful. He says this: so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place. Where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Please forgive me. I've read and taught this so many times. And I don't know how the very first thing he says is, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That means that Jesus came to give good news to the poor. And you can look it up as many times as you like. It means the poor. He came for the poor. He came to give hope. If you read it, I'll read them all to you real quick. He preached the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set liberty those who are oppressed. I'm so sorry. Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He came to heal the broken. He came to touch the needy. This is what Jesus did. And he starts out by talking about the poor. And I want to share with you this morning how I believe it is critical for us to pay attention this morning to what he's saying to us as a church. Because this church has been very blessed that we know the presence of God. We know the anointing. Obviously in part, we only know in part, but we know we've tasted his goodness in this area greatly. We've seen God do miracles. We've seen God touch people's lives. But I believe that God is answering my prayer by changing me a little bit. And I'm hoping and believing that he will change all of us and change us more, because we think we're getting better when we're probably getting worse sometimes. So that's not, I'm not trying to say that God has now changed me, I've arrived. That's not what I'm suggesting. But he's given me a glimpse at his heart. I've asked him so many times, give me your heart. I think sometimes we look at the word and we only see what we want. Okay. All right. I love the power of God. I love the miracles. But do we have the heart that Jesus had? Do we have his heart? Okay, let's go back to the word. Luke 3, verse number 8. Somebody pray for me, please. Don't clap for me. Okay. Luke 3, 8. Therefore, you know, it's so funny. God is so funny. I say to him, Lord, please, let it be anointed. And now he won't let me talk. All right. Let's try again. If you're new, yeah, this doesn't happen often. Only every now and then. All right. Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abram as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abram from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And he answered them, and watch this. He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. Fruit worthy of repentance to show that God has truly changed us is not always to be spiritual, but sometimes to do what Jesus did. Listen, he fed 5,000 on a beach once. He healed the broken, those that were desperate, those that needed a touch, that needed a breakthrough, he gave it to them. And if you think this was his heart only then, I'll take you into the Old Testament and let's take a look at this. This is not a new concept. The oldest book of the Bible, Job 29, verse number 11, let's take a look at it. When the ear heard, then it blessed me. When the ear saw, then it approved me. Because I delivered the poor who cried out, the fatherless and the one who had no helper. The blessing of a perishing man came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness. I put it on, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind, and I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and I searched out the case that I did not know. I broke the fangs of the wicked and plucked the victim from his teeth. God is a God that is wanting to touch the poor, wanting to reach the widow, wanting to encounter the fatherless. I am very fortunate. I have a wonderful father, and he's sitting right here, visiting from South Africa. And I'm so blessed, but I know so many people that don't have fathers, that don't have good fathers, or had really, really rough relationships with their father. And I can tell you, it's very difficult. I see them. I see their struggle. My heart goes out to you. And there's orphans out there that have no one. And God is a God to these people. And who will be God to them except for you? Who will go and show them his love? Who will take the kingdom of God to them? Why do we let the world do it? Why do we let the world do it? We should be first. We should be the first one to bring breakthrough to a city. God, change our city. Well, let's do it. Let's do what he says. Watch this. Job 31, 16. I didn't read this in the first service. I thought I'd run out of time. But it's the second service. I've got lots of time. Amen. Job 31, verse 16. If I have kept the poor from their desire, or caused the eye of the widow to fail, or eaten my morsel by myself, so that the fatherless could not eat of it. But from my mouth I reared him as a father, and from my mother's womb I guided the widow. If I have seen anyone perish of lack or of clothing, or any poor man without covering, if his heart was not has not blessed me, and if he was not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless, when I saw I had help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder, and let my arm be torn from my socket. What powerful language that Job shows us. Let's go to Deuteronomy 14, verse 28. Like I said, I'm going to give you scripture. Is that okay? There's nothing more powerful than the Word of God. My opinion really doesn't matter anyway. Deuteronomy 14, 28. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of the year and store it up within the gates, within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. It says here that he will bless you if you take care of those who are widows and fatherless, if we take care of the stranger and those who are poor. Can you see that? What about the prophets? Let's see what Isaiah, the prophet, said in Isaiah 1, verse number 12. Isaiah 1, verse number 12. Listen, we can talk about the fire, we can talk about the power, we can talk about all this stuff. I think it's time we talk about this. Amen. If we want to see change, we have to do it in everything we do. We have to not only talk the talk and talk about the power, let's talk about really. If someone's hungry, you can go and talk about the power all day. Maybe they just need some food. Amen. I don't know about you, but we are in Vero Beach, and there are far too many homeless people in Vero Beach. There are far too many addicts in Vero Beach. There are far too many alcoholics in Vero Beach. Who's going to be the hands and feet of Jesus? It's going to be you guys. It's going to be me. It's going to be us. Amen. Let's see what the prophet says. Isaiah 1, verse number 12. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the callings and assemblies of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meetings. The new moons and appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. This is now the Lord speaking. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hand, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Look at what he says now. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fearless and plead for the widow. Throughout scripture, you see the fatherless and the widow. God loves the widow. God loves the fatherless. You thought if you're an orphan or if you never had a father, you thought he didn't care. Do you see how he cares? Maybe it's not him that didn't represent him properly. Maybe it's the church that didn't represent him properly. And I cannot pick up a stone and throw it. There's a plank in my eye. To take the speck out of your eye would be ridiculous. The Bible says, work out your own salvation. Listen, God woke me up on Tuesday morning and gave me the message for me. And I thought I should share it with you. Amen. So we can all do something about it. Is that okay? All right. Proverbs 28, 27. He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. And watch this. And he will pay back what he has given. Did you see that? If you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. I don't think God owes anybody money. I'm pretty sure he can take care of it. If you give, if you be the arms and feet of Jesus, he will bless you. He will give to you far above and beyond what you can imagine, because you'll be doing it with a different motive. See, when you're a believer, you represent the heart of Jesus. Or you should. We should. And so when we do this the way that he wants us to, he will bless you. And it will change people's lives so much. Amen. Yes, of course, I want everything. What I mean by that is I want all of what God has for us. The gifts, the fruit, all of the stuff he has for us. But I don't believe we can fully manifest who he really is unless we step into this. Yes, we are doing some stuff as a church, and I'm thankful, and the people in this church, that you don't know how some of the people serve in this church. They're incredible. Far better than me. But I know we can do more. I know we can do. When must we stop? When there's not one more homeless person. When there's no one in the bars. When there's no one addicted. Or you're dreaming, Pastor. Well, then let me dream. Let me dream. Let me dream of bringing the kingdom the way Jesus did. Let me dream of changing lives. You want to see power manifest? Let me tell you something. Let's develop a heart like he has. And you will see the power of God manifest and the gifts of the Spirit flow like never before. Why? Because our motives will change. Oftentimes we go after after power because we want to be the great guru. Amen. Now watch this. This is so beautiful. Luke 14 verse 12. I'm almost done. I'll be finished by 2 o'clock. Amen. Luke 14 verse 12. Then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. Now, I don't think he's trying to say you must never have dinner with your friends. That's not what he's saying. He's trying to show you something. Understand that. Look at what he says. But when you give a feast, invite the poor and the maimed, the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed. Now, why will we be blessed? Look, because he cannot repay you. They cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. There will be a day that whatever you do for the king, in the name of the king, with the king's heart, there will be a day that he will repay you. And that's the biggest reward. We don't live anymore for this life. We live for eternity. Absent with the body, present with the Lord. Amen. And there will be a day where we will stand before him. And so what if no one saw what you did? So what if no one saw you help that homeless person, give to that poor person, reach out to that widow, reach out to that orphan? So what if no one saw? He saw. He saw. Watch this now. Watch this now. Matthew 25, verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. There's so much of this. I'm just scratching the surface this morning. So it must be important to God, right? Matthew 25, 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, and he's talking now about the end of the age. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. When you do something for somebody else, when they can do nothing for you, remember you're doing it for him. Why are you doing it for him? Because he loves them. Because he wants to touch them. Because he cares about them. How many of you here don't want to suffer in poverty? I think nobody wants to suffer in poverty. Who's going to go to them? Who's going to give them something that will really change them? You see, if the church doesn't do it and the world does it, they give them a temporary fix. We have the eternal solution. But we can also take care of their temporary needs as well. Amen? Is that okay? Okay, I know this is not a... Amen. Now watch. When I read this scripture, I almost fell... I was sitting on my bed preparing. I almost fell off the bed. James 1:27. I think I almost fell off the... because it was like a rebuke from the Lord. Amen? Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. You want to know what true religion is? Let me show you. To visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. In other words, let's start with the latter part. To keep yourself unspotted from the world, don't let this world dictate to you how you're supposed to live. You are not governed by this kingdom. You are governed by the kingdom of God. If God says a man marries a woman, then that's the way it is. Don't let the world fashion you to believe that the things of this world are right and good and acceptable and it's everybody's rights. No, everybody's rights gets us into everybody trouble. But when we follow the ways of God, there are things that change. What happens? What does the kingdom do? Peace, joy, life, liberty, freedom, true freedom. What this country was actually established on was religious freedom. Not the freedom to be a boy or a girl. If you are born and you're a man and you have a man's thing, you're a man. You are not a woman. You have no right to choose. You are a man. That's the way it is. Don't be affected. He says here, keep yourself unspotted from this world. Walk in the ways of God. Choose his ways. You see, you may not agree with me, and that's okay. As I said, my opinion doesn't matter. But my rule book, what I answer to is that word. Because I know the power of that word. I've seen it in action, in my own heart, in my own life. It shows me every week how weak I am and how much I need him. Because without him, I have nothing. I need the word to change me. Amen. Every one of us do. Can you say amen? And he says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in trouble. Now, I need to bring a slight balance here because it's important. He says orphans, and then he says widows in their trouble. Widows in their trouble. There's nothing worse for me than someone who wants to take advantage of the church. Someone who wants to abuse things and twist scripture to try and make themselves have what they want. There are requirements for widows. And if you go to Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:3 to 16, you can read it. There are requirements. And it starts like this. It says, honor widows who are really widows. And then it speaks about how in the church we're supposed to take care of widows over 60 that qualify. There's a whole list for them. And it's important that we follow those guidelines because they're in the Word. We do what the Word says. But I want you to see here what James says is he says, widows in their trouble. The word trouble in the Greek is the word thlipsis. Thlipsis. And it means this. It means affliction, oppression, distress, tribulation, anguish, and pressure. And I have seen being here at Oceans, when a woman walks in at the door, in the front door, many times I've seen this. Often they come with little children and they're homeless. They live on the streets, they have nothing. They've lost their husband or something's happened. They come in here, they need a tent so they can sleep in a tent tonight. And they walk through the door, and when you see them, you can see the anguish, you can see the turmoil, the torture that they're going through. We have to help them. We have to step in and help them. Can you say amen? That's what he's saying, that we have to help those that are in that position because they're helpless. If you have a look at the way, specifically in that time, the way women were, it's changed a little, but the way they were back then, most of them didn't even work, so they didn't have an income or a way to have income. So the church had to step in. The church must still step in now, but we must be wise as well. Can you say amen? All right. Let's move on. I'm almost done. I have taught this scripture so many times, what I'm about to read to you. And oftentimes I think that in part I've looked at it and tried to talk more about works in the sense of what we do here in church and, you know, seeking righteousness and all this stuff. Let's go to James 2 verse 18 and I'll show you. James 2, 18. Such a powerful scripture. I tell you, James, he understood this principle. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, I will show you that I have faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God, you do well. But understand that even the demons believe and tremble. They also believe in God. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. For he was called the friend of God. What an honor. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So it's both. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers that were sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, pay attention now, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without works is dead also. In Christ, we have to be his hands and feet. We have to show his heart. As true Christians, we have to do what he did. What is he talking about when he talks about works here? Well, generally, when you study scripture, you do two things when you want to see the context of the text. You read a little after, and you read a little before, and you might end up going quite a lot before, and even further before. But let's go and have a look at just three or four verses before he starts speaking about faith and works. Watch this now. Let's go to James 2, verse 14. James 2, verse 14. So this is just before he started what I just read to you. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and no one says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. What works is he talking about? He's talking about being the hands and feet of Jesus. He's talking about having the heart of Jesus. To do what? To bring the kingdom. What was the message? The gospel of the kingdom. What was the message of the gospel of the kingdom? Peace, joy, righteousness, power. Both go hand in hand, not only in word, but in deed also. So in other words, if you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk. As I said, in this place, I cannot throw a stone at anybody. God's dealing with me and my heart. But I think that every one of us, if we want to see a revival, a true revival, this is where it starts. By going out into the community and changing the community. Listen, you can go to the ends of the earth, but be like that guy that was going to go on his great mission and all he had to do was pull in next door. Vero Beach, just Vero Beach, has so many people that need the Lord. We can make a difference right here. But now let me say this to you. There's nothing uglier than self-righteousness. I think because of what I do, I'm righteous. No. You're only righteous because of the blood of Jesus. I'm only righteous because of the blood of Jesus. Now watch how Paul brings such a balance to this. And we'll quickly close with the scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1. I've taught you about the kingdom. I've taught you how Jesus manifests the kingdom by what he did and his nature, his character, but also with signs and wonders and miracles, with power. So we'll look at what Paul says here. Though I speak with tongues of men, 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. There we see him talk about faith and power and the gifts because it's so important. But he says, without love, it's nothing. Now take a look at the other side. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So what's the key? What do we need to do? We need to have love. At the end of the day, nobody knows you except for him. At the beginning of the service, I don't know if I said it in this one or the last one, there's one thing I've been taught. And this is the thing that causes me to self-examine myself all the time. And that is, what is your motive? What is your motive for doing anything in this life? Especially being a Christian and representing God. What is your motive? Some people have a lot, so they give a lot to look like they give a lot. Some people are anointed and they use their gifts so that they can look really great. But at the end of the day, what is the motive? It's all about him. It's all for him. I really believe that we need to do what the disciples did when they didn't know how to pray. They said to Jesus, teach us to pray. I really believe we need to ask God to teach us how to love. Because I don't know how to do it. I only know that his word says that I need to be led by the Spirit. And if I'm led by him, I believe that I will begin to see a glimpse of what his heart really is like. And I don't believe any of us truly understand that, especially me. So this morning, I know this is a challenging word, but let me say this. As your pastor, first of all, my wife pointed out to me during the break, I need to say this. There are people here that have done so much they serve every day. Thank you so much for what you do. We're so thankful. But we can do more, guys. Just those of you that are in this room, if you make a decision to really do this and to seek the kingdom of God with all of your heart, can you imagine what we could achieve? I'm telling you now, we will have a revival. We will have a revival. And the revival will start with you. It will start in your own heart because he will begin to change you, because your focus will go off your sins, your weaknesses, and your ability, your desire to try and be righteous. You cannot do it. It's done. Just do what he says. Have his heart. Do his things. Do his ways. Let him wake you up when he wakes you up. Let him speak to you in the night watches. Get into his word. His word is so powerful. It has the ability to change us. It does change us. Amen. So let's ask him this morning to give us his heart as a church. so that we can really impact this community like we never have before. Can you say amen, guys? Let's pray. Father, this morning in this place, firstly, we give you thanks for everything we have and everything you've done. And we give you all of the glory and all of the praise and all of the honor. We thank you for every life that has been changed, every miracle, everything you've done. Lord, those that we have helped in your name, we thank you for it because it's really only because of you. Father, your word says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, this morning that you will show us, that you will teach us, that you will reveal the Father's heart to us so that we can love a little more. Not being led by our emotions and feelings, but following the commandment of the Lord to love, to really love. Put this in us, Lord. I don't think we can do it on our own. In fact, I know we can't do it on our own. I want to thank you for every precious life, and so many are listening so intently this morning. Thank you, Father. Let the word challenge us this morning. Let it change us. Let it shape us so that we can be more like Jesus, so that we can be more like him, so that we can love like he loved, share like he shared, and touch like he touched, so that we can touch the untouched and heal the brokenhearted. Father, let us not be in the city and just exist. Let us make a difference. Let us make a difference. Every life that gets touched, every soul that gets saved is another one for you, another precious person for you. For I know you love everyone, your children, so much that you sent your son to die for us. And so we surrender our hearts and our lives to you this morning, and we thank you because your word is truth. Now I pray, Father, for everyone as they leave this morning, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Spirit will be with everyone as they leave today. Once again, we're just so thankful to you, so grateful to you. We love you so much. We have so much to be thankful for. In the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.